The scripture reading this evening is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the first 15 verses. It's on page 1030 in your Bibles. This is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And this is the sixth chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to the words of our Lord. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So far the reading of the Word of God. The flowers fade, the grass withers, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Before we open these great truths of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at these first beautiful words of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Father in heaven, we pray that you will help us to understand the beauty of this address, that we come before you, O Lord, as your children, adopted by grace into your family. And so hear us, dear Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The fatherhood of God is a glorious truth. God is our heavenly Father. And the word Father, of course, is something we're very familiar with because all of us have earthly fathers. I remember when I was a boy at West Leonard Church, one of my friends whose mother had passed away also lost his father. He was living with his uncle and aunt. And we were there that evening watching the Eddie Fisher show on television. We were there with about, maybe six or seven boys his age. And all of a sudden, Eddie Fisher, and some of you who are my age, you remember Eddie Fisher. Eddie Fisher began to sing, "Oh, mine papa. To me he was so wonderful. To me he was so good. Long are the days when he would take me on his knee and with a smile would turn my tears to laughter. Oh, my papa." You remember that? And my friend whose father had died and whose mother had died, he began to cry. He began to cry because his dad was no longer living. And he couldn't say, "Oh, mine, Papa." He couldn't say that because his dad was gone. And my brother and I and our other friends, we looked at each other and we were so thankful that we had a papa, a father, who loved us, who cared for us, who was there when we were in need, who prayed for us. What a wonderful thing a father is. And this is the name that Jesus gives us to address our Heavenly Father. You may call Him mine Papa, my Father, our Father who art in heaven. That word is so precious. It's a marvelous possession that we have. We have that treasure of God as our Father. Not only as the sovereign Lord. He is that, of course. He is the Almighty God. Absolutely. He is the creator of all things visible and invisible. Yes, indeed. But when Jesus taught us, his disciples and us, how to pray, he said, this is how you have to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. We want to know three things. First, that God, our Father, is the God of love. Secondly, he is the God of the church. You find that in the word our Father. And then thirdly, he is the God of majesty. He is our Father who is in heaven. And so let's look at those three things. First of all, he is the God of love. You see, Jesus is teaching us the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And the context of this teaching of the Lord's Prayer is in the context of fasting and giving and prayer. And Jesus is talking to his disciples and he is saying to them, don't be like the Pharisees. Because they like to be seen of men. They pray in public and they pray on the streets and they want everybody to know how much they gave and they want to see other, have others see how they have fasted. They do it to be seen of men. Jesus said, no, don't do it that way. Pray, oh yes, but don't do it like they do. Do you know what their motivation is? The motivation of the Pharisee is that they pray so that they will get credit for what they're doing with God. They're doing it as employees. They're doing it as servants. They're doing it as those who have to earn God's favor. And so Jesus says, no, that's altogether wrong. You pray our Father. We are not the slaves of God. We are not his workers. We are not his employees who have to please God with our efforts, and that prayer is one of them. No. Jesus says, I want you to come into prayer recognizing that there is a relationship which God has already established with you, and that is a relationship of love. You are children, not employees. You're not employees. When you came to church tonight, you didn't have to stamp your card that you came to church and that you now you're going to get credit for that in heaven. And you're going to earn so many points by how many times you come to church. And if you don't fall asleep in church, then you rack up another check that you have earned more credits with God that you didn't fall asleep, that you're really a good employee. Jesus said, absolutely none of that. No. You come as children to your Heavenly Father. God is the God of love. He is not the God who is your boss, that you've got to somehow earn credits to be pleasing to him. No, no, no. When Eric told the story of John Huss, that is exactly how John Huss was brought up. That you had to do so much to earn your credits with God. No, that's not the way it is. You remember when Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not an adulterer, I'm not an idolater, I give tithes of all I get. And you know, if it's the 20th century, 21st century, they would say, well, I've gone to catechism, I've gone to the Christian school, I've done all this, and I'm a pretty good guy. But the publican who stood in the corner, he didn't even dare to lift up his face to heaven. He smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man, he understood, he got it. That's the way it is. That man went home justified rather than the other. For he that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And so Jesus is teaching here in the Lord's Prayer that we come as children, children of God's covenant, whom he has brought into his relationship. We are part of his flock, we're his people, we're his bride, and he is the bridegroom. There's a poster that was on the internet the other day. And the poster said, what do you think God would really want from his people? And the answer is that God would say, oh, that my children would talk to me. Oh, that my children would talk to me. Oh, that my wife, because the church is his wife, he is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. Oh, that my bride would talk to me. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. Jesus gave a parable saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what happens if we don't pray? We're going to faint. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire unuttered or expressed. It's the breath of a Christian. Prayer is our relationship with God within the covenant that he has established. He has established it from eternity. Ephesians 1 says it so beautifully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having predestined us unto adoption as his children. And it's within that relationship that we can pray, our Father who art in heaven. Now when Jesus taught the disciples and the people on the Sermon on the Mount, he was not teaching them something that they had never heard before, because this is found throughout the Old Testament, that God is not only our sovereign Lord, but he is also our Heavenly Father. You remember in Psalm 103 how David speaks, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all within me bless his holy name, who forgives our iniquities and heals our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He is our Father. And when Abraham went up the mountain to sacrifice his son, and his son says to him, Father, you've got wood, you've got fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide. He is the Father who provides for us. Psalm 103 again, the tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. Unchanging is the love of God from age to age the same, displayed to all who do his will and reverence his name. But you see, this whole idea that we got to earn it, that flies in the face of the scriptures. The Old Testament has a beautiful story of Naaman, who had leprosy. And the little girl who was captured was at his house. She was working for his wife. And she said, "Oh, if only my master would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman goes to the king and says, the little girl from Israel says, "There's a prophet in Israel who can cure me of my leprosy." And the king says, "Go, by all means go." So Naaman goes. And with him, he takes 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, of clothing. And there he goes with horses and chariots to Samaria. And he comes to Elisha's house with his horses and his chariots. And Elisha, and you know why he went with all that money? Because he thought that the God of Israel was like his pagan gods. And their philosophy, the philosophy of the pagan deities was this: nothing for nothing. If you want a blessing, you're going to have to pay for it. And Naaman figured that cancer is terrible, or leprosy is terrible, and it must really cost a lot. So he comes with, if you figure that out in dollars today, 150 pounds of gold and 750 pounds of silver come to well over $1.5 million. And so he comes loaded with this money because he thinks that God can be bought. We can't buy God. All the silver in the world and all the gold in the world could not begin to pay for our sin. No way. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. No, it's free. It's a free gift of God. It's free grace. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. You don't pray to be seen of men. You don't give so that others will know. Let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing. We give, we pray, we fast, simply because out of love for God. You remember how the Heidelberg Catechism puts it. Why do Christians pray? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. And because God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who ask for these gifts, thanking God for them. You see, that's exactly it. It's asking. It's a gift. Prayer is an expression of our thankfulness. And the beginning of our prayer recognizes that God is our covenant Heavenly Father who has brought us into His relationship of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have eternal life. So He is the God of love. We see that in the word Father. But not only is He the God of love, He is the God of the church. He is the God of the covenant community. Jesus didn't say, "Pray, hallowed be No, my Father who art in heaven. It's true, we can say my Father, but Jesus taught us to pray our Father. We're part of the Christian community. We're part of His flock. We're part of His family. We come as members of His covenant community. We have access as citizens of the United States to come ultimately to the Supreme Court with something. We have the right to go to Congress. We have the right to go to the president. We don't come, though, if we would do those things. We don't come because of an individual right. We come because we are citizens. We are citizens of a great country. We come as members of a body. And when we pray, we come as a fellowship of believers. We confess this in the Apostles' Creed. I believe that there is a holy Catholic Church and that there is a communion of saints and that we are part of this fellowship. That we're not only individuals, we are that indeed, but we're part of a family. We're part of an organism. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And as the branch cannot exist by itself except it is part of the vine, so for you, you cannot exist by yourself. I had a young man in one of my churches who stopped coming to church. And he said, I don't need church. I said, you know, Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches, in plural. You're the branches. You're part of the body. How can you say I don't have to go to church? I said, have you ever seen a branch just grow without any connection to the vine? Without any connection to the other branches? No, you don't see that. It doesn't happen. Each branch is part of the whole. I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We're part of His flock. We're part of His family. We are His adopted children. And so we are part of a community. And this means that when one suffers, we all feel it. When one rejoices, we all are happy because we are part of one another. We're not just like one man, no man is an island. We're not an island. We're part of a family. And that is found in throughout the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. And then, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. You see, we pray as members of a body. We're members of His family. And this is why we are baptized. Baptism doesn't take place just out there somewhere all alone. We don't baptize ourselves. We come into the body of Christ and we come and receive the sign and seal of membership in His covenant. We are part of His family. And that is found in that beautiful word, our Father who art in heaven. And then God is also the God of majesty. Our Father who art in heaven, He is supreme. He is the ruler. He is in control of all things. And we never have to worry. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. And I will care for you with my righteous right hand. This God is our God forever and ever. He guides us all through life. Now, boys and girls, when they come into the family, are born into the church. They're born into the church. They're part of the family of God. And they must always remember that. We may not offend the family. We uphold the family's name. So we are confess in that beautiful address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. That is that God is the God of love, the God of the church, and the God of majesty. And so what a great privilege it is for us to call Him the eternal God, our Father, the fatherhood of God, that we are His children. Born in sin, yes, but adopted. Adopted through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who has fully purchased our redemption with His own precious blood. Bless us this evening, O Lord, and thank You, dear Father, that we may call You our Father. Forgive us our sins, and may we rejoice in the great privilege of being Your children. In Jesus' name, Amen.